study in the book of John. And as we began the message last week, we shared with you how that John, in particular, devotes a lot of time talking about the deity of Jesus Christ. And once you read the book of John, there should be no question of who Jesus is. Amen? He is God in the flesh. He is God's only Son. And without going back to the very beginning, I want that to be your forefront in your mind as we study the rest of this particular chapter. But we're going to go and we're going to hone in on verse 10 through 12. Could somebody help whoever's coming in there right now? There's somebody coming in. Oh, is it Rachel?
What chapter, Gary?
Chapter 1. Hey, Rachel. That's fine. I got to get me one of those. Is that got a Hemi on it? Let's read verse 10 through 12. It says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him." What a key word that is. "As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." In other words, of the Spirit. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Brother Terry, would you ask the blessing, please?
Father, how great it is to come together in your house as your children. Thank you today that we can rejoice in all things that you do. Lord, I just pray that Pastor Terry delivers the gospel today and the message of truth, that we continue not only to listen and hear it, but we apply it to our own walk in our lives. In the mighty name above all names, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Now, maybe you remember last week, some of the previous verses that we were sharing with you had to do with Jesus being the light of the world. And being the light of the world, the Bible says he came to his own. He came as a light. But the Bible tells us that the light couldn't comprehend it, couldn't accept it. Now, Jesus himself said to us, even though he was the light of the world, "You are the light of the world." You, the church, we're an extension of who he is. And when you stand and when you worship the Lord, when you lift your voice to the Lord, that is only one way, but it is a start of letting your light so shine. You see, because you're not ashamed of who you belong to when you stand and you worship. We all need to understand that God does not force himself on anyone's will. It doesn't force himself on anyone's will. And we're told from him, from the scriptures, that we are to praise and we are to worship him. But he doesn't make us. You see, but when we do, when we allow ourselves to forget about all what's around us, and we begin to lift our voice, and we begin to lift our hands, we begin to let our light shine before God, you know, truly it speaks to other people, but it pleases God too, you see. Now, we have to ask ourselves, why don't we lift our hands? Why don't we lift our voices? Why do we just sit like a knot on a log? You know, have we really received him? Ask yourself that. I heard one brother put it this way. He said, "Generally, it is the minority that will accept all God has for his people. It requires courage, commitment to receive God's promises. the drunkard on the bar stool doesn't mind telling you why he's there. He's there to get drunk, right? Then why do we, as God's children, with all these promises at our disposal, come to church willing to receive nothing from God? Like the drunkard, we ought to come with one purpose in mind, and that is to receive what God has for us this day. Many people are like the old Burrow cream commercial. How many of you, some of you are too young for that? Little dabble, do you? I need a little more than a dab. I mean, there's an Old Testament picture for us in Scripture about the river of God and the prophet stepping in up to his ankles. And then he steps in up to his knees. Then he steps in up to his waist. And pretty soon it's a river that has to be swung. It really speaks of God lets you come in as far as you want to go, you know. But he's not going to force you, you see. When Jesus came into this world, all of creation acknowledged him. The winds obeyed him. The water supported him. He walked on that water, remember? Didn't sink at all. But there was one segment of his creation that did not receive him, and that was man. Human nature is the only part of God's nature that seems to refuse to worship him as God. Let's be honest. If you've been to a Giants or a Dodgers game, you know that people go crazy in the stands, don't they? They lift their hands in the air victoriously and they clap, you know, just exuberantly and they cheer, you know, just they're crazy in the way that they carry on. Stand and yell, stomp their feet, and they don't care who sees them. Something happens at rock concerts, at basketball games, and beauty pageants, and rodeos, football games, all these things. Humanity radically worships with abandon those things of the world. But when it comes to worshiping Jesus, arms are folded, voices are hushed, and sitting becomes the position of choice. Our culture finds it very easy to worship sports, music, rock stars, all those things. But again, Jesus, do we really worship him? I realize that this might be hitting home for some of us, myself included. But I wonder if there's anybody here who can explain to me how people react to the things of this world, not even giving a care who sees them. But all of a sudden, when they're in church, they become terrified that somebody might actually see them worshiping the Lord outwardly. Folks, true worship is not silent. Pardon me. Sorry, Nan. Let me give you some verses. I'm going to share with you several verses. You know, the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Psalms 150, verses 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. We do a lot of singing here in this church. We do. And I remember when I first took over as pastor, it was an old fellow that says, yeah, you just need to sing two or three hymns and sit down. Shut up. I said, that's not worship. Psalms 32:11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and what? Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Psalms 33:3 says, sing to him a new song. And play skillfully and shout for joy. Psalms 47:1. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Oh, clap your hands, all of you people, and shout to God with the voice of triumph. Anybody here today got some triumph? Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Psalms 66:1. to the chief musician a song, a psalm. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Psalm 81 and 1, to the chief musician on the instrument of Gath, a psalm of Asaph. Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Psalm 95, verse 1 and 2. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Psalms 98, verse 4 through 8, 6 says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp. Sing to the Lord with the harp and with the sound of psalms, with trumpets and the sounds of the horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord the King. A lot of people would say, well, Carrie, what do I have to shout about? The wondrous work of His salvation. Amen. And the fact that we have been given the right to be called sons of God. Amen. The question is, have you here today truly grasped that revelation that you are called to be a son of God? You see, Jesus, He came to His own people, the Jewish people. The Jewish people are an example of how God has revealed Himself as a light of the world. But they were so shackled by religious traditions that they didn't understand the spiritual worth and the spiritual truth. He came to His own. He came into His own world that He created. He came to His people Israel, and they couldn't understand Him. They could not receive Him. They saw His works. They heard His words. They observed His perfect life. And He gave them every opportunity to grasp the truth, to receive Him, to believe and to be saved. Consider the fact that Jesus said, I am the way. They wouldn't walk with Him. They wouldn't walk with Him. John 6, verse 64 through 69 says, but there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and they who would betray Him. And He said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to Me unless it has been granted to him by My Father. From that time many of the disciples went back and walked with Him no more. And Jesus said to the 12, Do you also want to go away? And Simon Peter answered, saying, Lord, to whom shall we go? Do you understand that? Where are we going to go? With what we know? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that You are the Christ. You are the light of the world. You are the Son of the living God. Many didn't walk with Him. But He's also the truth. And many didn't walk with Him because they simply did not want to acknowledge the truth. John 12, verse 35 through 43 says, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. But while you have the light, believe in the light. Listen, that you may be the sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. But although He had done so many signs before them, they did not believe Him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled which He spoke. Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah again said again, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I would heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw His glory and spoke of Him. Nevertheless, even amongst the rulers, many believed in Him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him. I share that with you because I wonder sometimes our attitude when we come to church. These guys were afraid. They believed, but they did not confess Him. At least they should be put out of the synagogue. for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. You see, we shouldn't be mindful of men and what they think of us in our praise and adoration of God at all. He is not only the way, the truth, but He is the life. He's the life, but what did they do? They crucified Him. And the Jewish people here are our example of how not to walk. Folks, every one of us are sinners. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But we don't have to make the same mistakes they made. They were trying to go about establishing their own righteousness by their own works of the law. And when the Bible says that by the works of the law there shall be no flesh justified, Paul would remind the Romans about the Jewish people and how that they tried to establish their own righteousness. In Romans 10, verse 1 through 13, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." They were a religious people. They thought they were right with God. He says, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God." Listen, but not according to knowledge, not according to what God says. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live in them." And guess what? You can't keep it. "But the righteousness of faith speaks on this wise: do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is to bring Christ down from above. Or 'Who will ascend into the abyss?' That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? 'The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart.' That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, 'Whoever believeth in Him will not be put to shame.' For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's just say that if you're here and you have a difficult time worshiping, it doesn't mean that you're lost. It just simply means you are not letting your light shine. It means you're not fulfilling what God's called you to do, to praise Him and honor Him for all His mighty works and His mighty deeds. And when we praise Him and worship Him for doing those things, not only within this church but outside, believe me, it makes it easier if you do it here than when you go outside. Then we're declaring His glory and makes us lights in this world. Amen? Now look at what the next verse has to say. "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." In other words, born of the Spirit. "And everyone who receives Christ will be born again and into the family of God." Again, he's talking about that new nature, not from the physical birth, but depends on human nature or human effort, but rather the nature that is given to a person who simply believes and who's been born from above. Remember, the Bible tells us about the nation of Israel. It says the same word was preached to them, but it didn't profit them because it was not mixed with faith. It said we were born again not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, the Word of God. That seed has to be mixed with faith. What does that mean? It means that we just don't simply look at it and say, "Yeah, I believe that." We put it into application. We do by our actions and by our works show that we believe. Amen? So the question is, have you personally received the light and become a child of God, a child of light? Again, if you have the light, it will be manifest in you, and it will begin to manifest itself outwardly to others. Jesus, as the first creation, you know, in this new covenant, he is the first fruits. He's the light, and He sets the example for us. But we know that just as in the very beginning, in the creation, in the very beginning, everything started with, let there be light. And the same thing is true within us in the new creation. The entrance of light, the light of His Word, who He is manifest in the hearts of every believer and should be in turn manifested outwardly to others. Ephesians 5, 8 through 14 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And this, listen, and this is where we are right now. All of us, this is our struggle. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. How do you do that? The Word of God. The Word of God. The Bible says we go from faith to faith toward that stature of the perfect man, which is like Jesus Christ. And it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now that means that you don't have anything to do with people who are out in the world. You know, you'd have to leave the world if that was the case, like Scripture says. But certainly, you cannot put yourself in a position to walk with people who are walking in darkness perpetually, because their testimony will corrupt you. Evil communications corrupt good morals. That's what this is really talking about. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. In other words, we should not be afraid to tell people, that's wrong! And it's wrong because God says so. They might not believe it. You can't make them believe it. But we still need to say, it's wrong. Today, you've got people who are doing what the Old Testament Scripture says that would happen. They were calling evil good and good evil. I'm telling you, folks, there are things that are absolutely wrong in the eyes of God. And as God's people, as His lights in this world, we must manifest that fact. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. And whatever makes manifest is light. When you've been in the dark and somebody shines a light in your face all of a sudden, what do you want to do? That's usually a reaction of the ways of the world too. You got to expect it. Does that mean that we don't do that? We don't let our light shine? No, we let our light shine. Because eventually, you know what happens? Your eyes adjust to the light. Isn't that right? It's painful when things are exposed, isn't it? It's not comfortable. But when it's exposed, then things can be healed. He goes on to say, therefore he says, awake you who sleep and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. I want to think about that for a moment. We come and we sit. We leave here. A lot of times, a lot of people will act the ways of the world rather than walk like Jesus. God wants you to arise from that sleep. He wants you to arise from the dead. He doesn't want you to be like the dead. He wants you to have life and life more abundantly. He wants you to have light. Amen? Philippians 2, verse 14 through 15 says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, a dark world, basically, among whom, listen, you shine as light in the world. A lot of people don't want to receive the light. There's no other way. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 through 6 says, but even if our gospel it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God, and this is speaking of Satan, because it's of the small g, the God of this age, not of the world or the heavens or anything, but of this age, has blinded, who do not believe, at least the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. A lot of folks don't want the gospel of God to shine on them. They're pleased and they're tickled to be able to continue to walk in darkness. For we do not preach ourselves but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who made the light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. So we're talking about knowledge too. Of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So again, my point is, if Christ, who is the light, has taken up residence in our hearts, we also should manifest light. Amen? He's the light, we are the lantern. Literally. And that's why, again, I started with this idea of praise and worship. If we are light, we should behave like the light. I believe that's why Jesus gave this admonition. Listen carefully to this, folks. It says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a sacred place or under a basket. That's what a lot of people do when they come into church. But they put it on a lampstand that those who come in may see the light. You see what I'm saying? The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when a bright and shining lamp gives you light. You see, God wants us to shine brightly. Allow the life of Jesus to be manifest in us. In every way, shape, and form. Tony Evans is, again, another brother that I highly respect and admire, and I love his illustrations. This is what he's had to say about this. He said, throughout our church service, we have somebody upstairs in the control booth, and he works the lights. When we are in our praise service and come to a little quieter song, the lights dim. And when we come to other features in the service, the lights brighten. He says, that's called illumination. Illumination is when you turn up the dimmer switch and now that which was dark is now clear. Think about that for a moment. David kind of says the same thing in Psalm 34 when he said, magnify the Lord with me. Let's go ahead and read Psalm 34, verse 1 through 10. A psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and departed. And he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. That's to make large, right? How do you do that? By just sitting there? Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were what? Radiant, because of the light. And their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and He saved him out of all of his troubles. The angels of the Lord encamps round about those who fear Him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you as saints, for there is no want to those who fear Him. Young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who, here's the key, those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Seeking the Lord is not just not coming to the church and filling a pew. It's not coming just paying tithes or anything like that. It's giving your whole heart to the Lord, lifting your heart. God, fill me. Allow me to magnify you. Allow me to go out forth to this neighborhood and into this community here and let people see Jesus in me, Lord, by my conduct, by my actions. In verse 14, finally it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, the Greek word here translated dwelt literally means tabernacled or encamped. Of course, the word, which is also interpreted from logos, the creator, the sustainer, the reason for all things, became flesh and tabernacled among us. The tabernacle in the wilderness, for example, is an example for us. On the outside, it was covered with badger skin. It was kind of plain on the outside. But the interior was adorned with gold and silver, fine embroidery, and precious stones. But it was the kabod, not those things, but the kabod that enhanced those things and gave the substance of the glory of God that was found inside. The kabod, the Shekinah glory. The same is true with Jesus. He appeared to be ordinary looking on the outside. So much so that Judas had to identify him to the soldiers with a kiss. But God gives us a glimpse into what his true glory is like when he stood with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. But while he was among us, that glory was veiled by his flesh. That being said, let me share this, that Jesus, the light of the world, he came into this world to be a light that he might shine forth from us as well. Now, he was probably not born on December 25th. Matter of fact, December 25th is actually a Roman holiday called the Festival of Saturnilla. And probably the most likely that he was born during the fall, based on the fact that the shepherds were grazing their flocks out in the open like that. Some scholars also suggest that he was born during the 15th of Tishri, which was the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, this was a week-long celebration when the Jews came together and they lived in kind of pup tent-like booths, you know, that they made their branches and what have you. And it was to remind them of their time in the wilderness with the Lord, being led about with the Lord, when the Lord tabernacled with them. Remember, he dwelt in the tabernacle as they dwelt in the wilderness. And they celebrated constantly this Feast of Tabernacle throughout the years because it spoke of that. And it also gives them the promise that God would bring them into the promised land. And again, to the Jews, this was the most joyous time of the year. And the fact that Jesus tabernacled with us as the church is a picture and a type for us. Through his earthly pilgrimage should produce within us an abundant joy in our hearts as well. Amen? Just as the kabod, the glory of God, was seen in the tabernacle, it was also seen in the Son of God. The Bible tells us when Solomon dedicated the first temple there, it says that the kabod showed up, amen? That cloud of glory. And it says it was so thick that the ministers could not even stand to minister. How many of you would like to see that here? Amen. Amen? Now, because of the anointed work of the cross, Jesus rending that veil to the Holy of Holies, we can behold daily the glory of God, and we can have an intimacy with God like never before. But you have to desire it. You have to seek it. The longer that you walk in communion with the Lord, the more that you will see that He is a perfect blend of grace and truth. Nothing to be fearful of other than to the fact that you should never depart from Him because He is our hope and our peace. Some people are very truthful but show little grace. Isn't that right? They're hard to be around because they have a tendency to make you feel guilty. That's not my intent this morning, to make you feel guilty. My intent this morning is to hope that people will draw near to Him and allow the light to shine even brighter. Other people are gracious, but not very truthful. They're fun to be around for a time, but they have a tendency to be a little bit flaky, don't they? Jesus was never, ever flaky. His message was singular, and it had one purpose, and that was to glorify the Father, to let that light shine. And folks, ours should be the same. Because he did that, people marveled at him. Remember Jesus when he went to his hometown? He preached, but people didn't receive him. But he departed from there, right? And he went on and he kept preaching. If people don't receive you, you just got to shake the dust off your feet and go on. But we are to still shine as lights. Let it start in the church congregation so that we can carry it out into the community. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed to worship. Again, if you're one of those that you don't mind standing up and hollering at a baseball game, don't mind standing up at any kind of a secular event like that and not care at all what people think, ask yourself, why are you so silent? Excuse me. Excuse me. When the Bible says, let the people of God say so. Amen? Let's bow our heads.